Been a year and a half since John Paul and Joni left to go down to Pensacola Bible Institute down in Florida, and glad to have them back home here for a week, and we wanted to take advantage of having Brother John come and preach while they're home. And so, Brother, you come up ahead and let it rip.
Well, I appreciate you having me here, and I appreciate you folks here, too, praying for me, and I can tell you're praying for me. Things have gone very smooth since we moved down to Pensacola, and it just seems like things have been falling into place for us, and the Lord has taken care of us, and He's blessed the whole thing, and I can't describe, really, the way the Lord's taken care of me, and in my own words, but I'm going to sing a song here. This is by a man named John Newton, who you're familiar with. He wrote the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, and he wrote that in 1779. And he also wrote this hymn here, and this one may not be so familiar. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. I'm going to sing this here for you. Tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness with me. The midsummer sun shines but dim. The fields strive in vain to look gay, but when I am happy in Him, December's as pleasant as May. Amen. His name yields the richest perfume, and sweeter than music His voice. His presence disperses my gloom and makes all within me rejoice. I would He were always thus nigh, have nothing to wish or to fear. No mortal so happy as I, my summer would last all the year. Dear Lord, if indeed I am Thine, if Thou art my sun and my song, say, why do I languish and pine, and why are my winters so long? Oh, drive these dark clouds from my sky, Thy soul-cheering presence restore, or take me unto Thee on high, where winter and clouds are no more. for the message tonight. Please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll be reading from verse 14 to verse 18. Why did we come here tonight? What's our purpose for meeting here at this building and sharing our requests with one another and bearing one another's burdens? We come here to come out from among the world. We're separating ourselves from them. They may not think about it, but we are. We're coming apart from them and putting some distance in between us and them. And there is a difference between us and the world. There is a difference. What's this pulpit here for? What am I doing up here? This pulpit here is to elevate the Word of God. And we're here to give Jesus Christ the preeminence and to praise Him and to worship Him. And then we're also here because we know where our help comes from. And I'm thankful for a place like this. I don't want anything to do with the world anymore. So let's go ahead and read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Quickly to Romans chapter 8, verse 5, and we'll read from there. I want to preach tonight about separation, but more so I want to preach about sanctification. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He's none of his. Now there's a difference between your flesh, and there's a difference between the Spirit of God that dwells in you and the new man that you have. If you have the Spirit of Christ, there's something new that's happened inside of you, as many of you are already aware. Now these two things, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh, and they can't work together. You can't make them work together. If you try to make that happen, you're going to make yourself miserable. It'll be obvious to you. It'll be obvious to everybody else around you. And on the matter of sanctification, that's what I want to talk about tonight. Sanctification is to be set apart from the world. And it's something that God does for you. And it's something that you're partially responsible for too. But there's different levels of sanctification, and it's involving being cleaned up. I was pretty filthy before I got saved. And when I got saved, I knew some things weren't going to be the same. I really did. I knew some things weren't going to be the same, and I felt good. I know people say that salvation isn't a feeling, and I'm not saying that it is, but I felt happy. I believed it. When I got saved, I really believed it, and man, I had joy, and I really loved the Lord before I knew anything. And I've always just kind of believed the Lord. I've always just believed His Word. When I got a copy of the Scriptures, I always just believed His Word. I didn't need anybody to prove it to me. When I read the King James Bible, the Spirit of God bore witness to it. I read the NIV, and I spent some time reading that, and had friends who read it. And one way or another, the Lord got me back to the King James Version, and I never thought twice about it. When I read this, the Spirit of God inside of me says, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God, and it hits me, and it preaches at me. And I like it because it cleans me up. You can't get too far away from it. So what I want to talk about, first of all, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And later on down in verse 11 it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now something happened to you when you got saved. This is speaking of your instant sanctification. When you were saved, you got sanctified. And God separated your soul from your flesh. And he said, if I'm going to dwell in you, this is what I've always supposed, that the Lord was saying, that what he says to me, but this is that if I'm going to dwell in you, I can't have those sins of your flesh polluting your soul. And there's got to be a barrier there. So God does a miracle inside of you. It was no common thing that happened to you when you got saved. These things are miracles that happen every day when people get saved. Now listen, you can pray until you're blue in the face. You can pray for your family members. And I know all you people here have family members that are lost, and you love them and you care about them. But you can pray until you're blue in the face, but if you don't ever open up your mouth, I guess God will have to send somebody else to do it. You got to open up your mouth, and you got to preach the word. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And then they can get sanctified too. But there's a difference between you that are sanctified and those that are unsanctified. We here tonight we're on this side, okay? And then over here, you have the world. And you have the world and its group, and you have the lust of the flesh and all those things we read about in that passage. You have those that are without natural affection, the queers. You have the people that are drunkards. You have the people who hate the name of Christ. You have the people who are liberal and who are the learned ones who believe that this is superstition and that kind of thing. And then you have the people over there who are maybe children who grew up and they just never heard the name of Jesus Christ other than when somebody cursed it. And they never been told about the gospel. You have all those kind of people over there. And then you have you and your group over here and Christians. And that's the way it ought to be. You ought to be set apart. Amen. You ought to be set apart. And when you get in public and when you get around these people, now, you're over here. What does that mean? Does that mean you never go over to that crowd because they're filthy and they're unclean? Does that mean that you don't have any compassion on them? Listen, you were in that shape at one point in time yourself. And if you get to the point to where you don't have any charity and you don't have any burden, you've never shed a tear over the lost sinners, you've never shed a tear over the people that are opposed to themselves, the people, I mean, I'm talking about the vile and the wicked people, the murderers, and I'm talking about the people that are self-righteous and Christ rejectors, just as bad. This is bad. And I'm talking, they're all sinners. There's no difference for all of sin. Okay, they're all in that category. And if you don't have any compassion for these people and no love for them, enough to make a fool out of yourself and open up your mouth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, or just to say a word, if you can't even tell somebody you got saved, if the word salvation is a foreign word in your mouth, there's something wrong. There's something bad wrong. I'd love to hear more of people talking about their Savior. I'd love to hear those words in conversation. I'd love to hear the words of the gospel or the word of God or grace or those kind of things. Just you just don't hear it out in public. You know why? Because people are living according to their flesh. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. And now, you're over in this crowd and you're in the Christians crowd and then you have the crowd over here in the world. Now, you can't stay over there. You can't be hermits. You can't get yourself a log cabin somewhere in the hills of Tennessee. And that's not what it says when it says to separate yourself from them, come out from among them. Now, you got to go into the world. You got to come over in this crowd. And you got to say, can I tell you about my Savior? And tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Calvary and the rugged cross. Those things never get old. And you say, well, I do that. But what I try to do is develop a relationship with them. And I'm not going to go into that whole spiel, but that thing's devilish. Okay? That's the world's idea. That's like networking or something. You're in the business world or something. You're far, far off from what the Bible says about witnessing and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you're supposed to go to these people in love and preach the gospel to them. Okay? And now you develop a relationship with somebody, you're going to love them right into hell. You're going to love them, and there's got to be a divider between you and them. And not on a standard of I'm better than you and self-righteousness, but you've got to separate yourself and stop being such a hypocrite, because they can see it. But you can't separate yourself to the point to where you won't go in there and you won't go and talk to them and witness to them and those things like that. But don't you get too comfortable, because this world ain't your home. You've been sanctified by God and separated from it for a reason. Now also, you have progressive sanctification. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. We read, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know that what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought I was sanctified when I got saved. I thought that's what happened when I got saved, and the Lord did that miracle in me, and he cleaned me up. Well, he did, and you are clean. And in God's eyes, you're just as clean as when he looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ. He sees the Son. He sees what he did for you in Calvary. You're clean, but this flesh, in this flesh dwells no good thing. And I'm telling you, if you let it take over, it will. It will, and you'll find out just how bad this flesh is. And you'll know, because you don't have any peace and any joy. And he says that you ought to know how to possess your vessel, and you should abstain from fornication and know these commandments. The commandments don't get you saved. Good works don't get you saved. But faith, saving faith, produces good works. So things in your life ought to change. And you say, well, if I start doing that, if I'm over in this crowd and I'm pretending like I'm good, or, you know, or I'm trying to put on some kind of a show, or if I'm acting like I'm holy and those kind of things, well, first of all, if you pretend, they're going to see right through you and that kind of thing. And that's not how it's done. It's done through obedience. You're just simply trying to obey the Word of God and doing it in a humble manner, and meekness, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. But these things you got to do, you got to obey these commandments, you got to obey the Word of God, and let it make a difference in your life, and let it change you. And it's a progressive sanctification. It's something that happens as you grow in grace. You grow in Jesus Christ. Now, what will cause you to stop growing in grace? To stop growing in the being admonished in the things of the Lord and what the Word of God says? Well, first of all, you stop going to church. Maybe you stop going to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And maybe it starts there, and then maybe it's Sunday night services. That progressive sanctification, you say, well, I can stay at home. I can worship the Lord in spirit and truth. He's within me. And you say, my church is in my heart, or something so foolish as that. Well, you're out of the will of God. Now what are you going to do? When I don't understand the Christian that doesn't want to come out from among the world for a little time and get together with other people of like faith and of one mind and praise the Lord and talk to each other, find out what's going on, some prayer requests, those kind of things, hear a little bit of the preaching of the Word of God. God calls men to preach for a reason. and you don't come to church, you might miss something that God's had for you. God might have had the answer to your problems, and you missed it 3 Sundays back or something. And He wants you to grow in grace. And if you're going to grow in grace, you're going to have to come to church. And also on the matter of prayer, the pillars of the Christian faith, the church and prayer. You've got to pray for the people that are on the other side, the people that are separate from you or should be separate from you. And something about getting together with these people and praying, I'm convinced that it works. I'm convinced that it works. I've been down there in Pensacola, and the Lord. I prayed one time for humility, and I don't say that you should pray for that. But the Lord gave me a Ford Thunderbird, 1994, and it's a disgrace to any community. But the thing runs. I mean, it'll start up every time. No air conditioning, but it's a good running car and everything like that. But it humbles me. I was driving down the road one time and my tire blew out. And I probably should have replaced the tires. It's the least I could have done. I got it for free. But my tire blew out, you know, and people were wagging their heads at me, looking at me, and here I am. I'm all dirty from doing drywall work and everything, and driving around in this car. And sometimes I look at these other guys, and they got their pickup trucks, and I start to kind of covet it, you know. But the Lord's humbled me with that. And He also says, you don't have a truck payment. So I praise the Lord, and I thank Him for my car and everything. And I went down to Pensacola on prayer, and I tried to start trusting the Lord. Me and Joni would memorize the verse together, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And we tried to go by that and said, okay, we're going to take God at His word. We laid down our lives and we did it, and it works. You might not get everything you want the way you want it, those kind of things, but God knows what you have need of. But you got to ask Him for it. And you start to get your prayers answered, and you know what happens? You start to grow in grace. And you start to trust God, and your faith is increased. And you start to say, it's so much better being a Christian and living for the Lord than it is living out there in the world. I've had them both, and I know. So if you want to grow in grace, you got to come to church. You got to pray. And you got to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. I'll just say a short word about this. And Brother Walker said a word about it. Now, God, God looks down on this world and He sees this world in darkness. And he sees young boys and girls coming up, committing fornication with one another. Young Christian men, young Christian women, committing fornication, doing things that not possessing their vessel in honor, blatantly disregarding the preaching of the Word of God that they may have had all their lives, those kind of things. Now, that's not pleasing to the Lord. And you ought to stay away from that kind of thing. A Christian ought to be able to have a little bit of self-control over your body, and you don't have to do it on your own now. God's going to help you with it. But have a little bit of self-control to wait. For crying out loud, God's got something good for you. God's got a better life for you than what you can acquire on your own. And wait for the Lord. He says, be not unequally yoked. He means that with believers and unbelievers. He means that when you're getting married, you don't get unequally yoked together with people that are not saved. You wait for a Christian man. I'll tell you what, some of you women, if you go ahead and get married without the Lord's consent, on a man without the Lord's blessing on this marriage, and getting married to somebody that's in the world, you're going to have to move away from Jesus Christ to please that man. And Jesus Christ, He ought to have the preeminence in your life. Jesus Christ is over here, and that man's over there, and you're going to have to move away from him. You're going to have to move away from your church and move over to this man, or else you're going to have to leave the man at home, and then you're going to have to go to church. And you may have to do that for 20 years. Crying in the pulpit for 20 years. The whole church know about it, have prayer requests, praying for you. Maybe that man will get saved and come to church because God is so gracious and so good, maybe he'll do it. But then maybe your marriage will just be busted up and no good. And you'll be heartbroken because you had to go your own way, because you had to leave the good shepherd's care. And you wouldn't trust God to provide the most basic necessities in life. Now, God knows it's not good for you to be alone. God knew it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. Okay, and that's not God's will for your life, but he says, wait. Wait on me. Now, that's your progressive sanctification that happens, and that's as a result of obedience. And the Lord desires obedience out of your life. And the Lord also has a final sanctification for your life. And if you'll turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. And I'd like to say one more word about this world and Christians before we read this in 1 John chapter 3. If you spend too much time listening to what your television has to say, if you spend too much time listening to what your college instructors or your school teachers have to say, or your friends on the block, if you are just lapping this message up that you're getting from the world, it's going to cause your heart to wander away from God. It's going to corrupt your thinking. And if you don't spend any time reading this book, if you've never even read the Bible through in the first place, you don't know what God's Word has to say, so you don't know when you're getting a false message. Okay, so I won't just tell you that you might be doing this stuff blatantly and forsaking the Lord and not receiving His counsel, but maybe you just haven't read the Bible. And so when you hear something, you don't know that that's a false message. You don't know that that's worldly. But read the Bible, and then you'll know. And now if you're spending all your time listening to these instructors and you're growing up with a socialist type of an attitude that you think this world owes you something, you're going to get out in this world, and then you're going to, when your mind gets so in tune with that TV, your mind will become carnal, and the Bible says that that's enmity against God, and that in your flesh you cannot please God. If you want, and then you're saying, so well, the Christian life just didn't work out for me, and I found out that I am happier in the world. I found out that if I just leave all that Bible alone and all those angry preachers and their sermons and their negativity, and if I just leave that all alone and just try to go back out into the world and live my life, and these people, they want me to have a good life, and they want me to focus on me and having my best life now and all this garbage, and I'm much happier. But what about the Lord? What if it doesn't matter about you? Amen. What if you're not first place? Did you ever think of that? You've got to put God first in your life, or this Christian life, you haven't even experienced it yet. You don't even know what it's all about. You've already made up your mind to leave the Lord and to leave the counsel of His instruction in the Word of God. I talked to a couple of girls out in the street. Me and my wife, we were down in Pensacola Street preaching, and a couple of girls came up to us and they wanted to talk. And they didn't really want to learn anything. They just wanted to hear what I had to say. They had pretty much had their mind made up. But they had talked with us for a little while, and I probably stood there and preached on the corner for about 30 minutes to these girls. And it was wonderful. I was turning every passage that I was thinking of all these Bible passages, and I was able to turn to them and everything. And I was thinking, wow, something's going to happen today, and the Lord's going to do something, and I think these girls are going to get saved. And they had their mind up, made up. They didn't care what the Word of God said. They had gotten the message from school that they should question these kind of things and that the Word of God isn't true. I don't know what they'd been learning. One of them grew up in a Catholic church, and her mom and dad had gotten divorced, and the Catholic church called her a bastard child. And so she'd gotten fed up with the hypocrisy there, because religion doesn't work. People see through it. People see right through it. But Christianity works. Progressive sanctification, growing in grace in the Lord, becoming sincere and loving people, and you see them, and you're not angry at them because they're so wicked and vile, and because they're on the way to hell. You don't rejoice in the fact that of their destruction. You're not rejoicing in the fact that God sent a hurricane in there and wiped out their civilization, or you're not rejoicing in the fact of the earthquakes and those kind of things. But a Christian who actually has a sincere heart, they're hard to come by. But these girls had their minds made up that the Christians were hypocrites. And I preached the best that I could to them, and they heard the Word of God, and the faith comes by hearing the Word of God. They heard plenty of it. And they had made their mind up that, well, I just don't know. I just don't think so, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's, well, when it, if anything ever starts out, well, I, or well, I don't know, or I just think, you're already on the wrong track. You've got to come to God believing that He is. He resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. And a person's got to be of a broken and a contrite heart, or else they're just not going to receive it. So some people are, and some people, until they get to that point, you're just not going to change them. But don't you go getting angry at them. The Lord said, vengeance is mine. And finally, and I'll wrap this up quickly, your final sanctification, the first one happened at your new birth, and your second one is still in process now, a work in process, or in progress. Your final one, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll be like Him. And then turn quickly over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for our final passage. And you know what I'm going to now, don't you? You know what I'm going to now? This is what Pastor Leafley was talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And you say, well, I don't know about that. You say, I'm telling you, this is what the Lord's talking about. He's talking about He's going to meet us up in the clouds. And you and you and you and you and me are all going to go up. And this isn't natural. This isn't of the world. This is of the Father. These are spiritual things. They're supernatural things. And I believe it. I believe the Bible. I believe God is able, and I believe He's capable of plenty more than that. And I'm looking forward to that great day. That's the glorious hope when this vile body is going to be changed. I don't have to be a work in progress anymore. There's no more progressive sanctification. I'm going to be sinless. There'll be no more regrets. And since I didn't start in prayer, I'm going to finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for the opportunity to preach here. I'm thankful for these people and the way they pray for me. And Lord, I tremble at Your words, Lord. And Lord, I pray that You make this message a blessing to me and as well as them, Lord. And help us to come out from among this world and be separate, and not to buy into the messages that they're sending, Lord, but to get the messages coming from Your book. And distinguish between right and wrong, between good and evil, between the world and between things of the Father, and to put a divider between them. There's no such thing as toleration in the Bible. There's no such thing as tolerating sin. None of those kind of things, Lord. But help us not to be lifted up in pride like we're better than them. Jesus Christ is better than them. And that's why they need Him. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right. Well, Jay, if you come up and leave us in a song, please. And Miranda, come up and play. Sanctification, that's a good message. You had nothing to do with your first sanctification. When you got saved, God did it all. You have nothing to do with your last sanctification. When the Lord comes back, He'll do it all. In the meantime, that progressive sanctification He talked about is a combination of you and God working together. You separate, God sanctifies. And that's exactly, that's a good illustration on the two sides tonight. That's exactly what it is. You say, I'll go over here and be like this, but God, You sanctify me and separate me. God can't do it. He's got to do it while He's over here. That's a good message tonight. We need to ask ourselves a question. Where are we in our progressive sanctification? How dedicated are we to God? How separated are we? Are we willing to be so that God can sanctify us? Let's stand together tonight. Take a songbook if you would. Page number 3 in the songbook. If God has dealt with your heart, challenged you, you come tonight while we sing. Page number 3.
Dismiss us in prayer, please. Father.